You're a little older and a lot wiser. The future is yours. Define aging on your own terms. Welcome to AARP Without Limits with your host, Mike Olander.
Hello and welcome. This is AARP Without Limits. WPTF Talk Radio. We are disrupting aging with the power of 50,000 watts. And our podcast, available anytime on demand at WPTF.com or through our Facebook, AARP North Carolina. I'm your host, Mike Olander of AARP North Carolina. We've got a great program for you today, folks. David Sevier, who serves on AARP's Veterans and Military Families Initiative, is back with us on the program this time to talk about a new resource to help connect veterans with funding for home modification projects that allow them to age in place. But before we get to David, ladies and gentlemen, as always, I am joined in the studio here with our esteemed production engineer, Mr. Jason Kong. Jason, how are you, sir?
Mike, I'm good. I hope you don't mind me doing this, but I'm going to give a little bit of behind the scenes for AARP Without Limits.
And
usually, before the program, you might... There's someone in your life who requests a picture of you doing this program. And I'm going to remind you, you need to take your picture because you look very dapper today.
You've got a tie.
Your hair is immaculate right now.
Wow.
Don't forget to take that picture today.
Thank you. I actually already did.
Okay, there you go. I missed it.
Yeah, so got the blue tie on with the blue eyes always goes good, right? Got the pompadour is looking good. And a little bit of the facial hair, but the clean neck, nice and trim.
Mr. Yeah. GQ.
I'm feeling pretty good. I'm feeling like a man about the times right about now. Thank you, Jason. Appreciate that comment. Before we get to our conversation with David, Jason, I just wanted to make note and highlight the time of year that we're in right now. Though I'm sure this program very well may be re-aired down the road at some point, but at the time that we are producing this pre-recorded program, Memorial Day has just passed. For a lot of people, you know, it's Memorial Day means different things. And I think, you know, me growing up on the Jersey Shore, yes, that Jersey Shore, Memorial Day weekend, not so much the day, but the weekend really marked the unofficial start to summer, as it is in many parts of the country. And it was fabulous, always growing up and, you know, literally it feels like there's electric in the air and you're seeing, you know, listening to the radio live is great that weekend. And this, you know, summer is just in the air and over the broadcast streams. And, you know, you walk into 7-Eleven, you're seeing new stuff there for the season. It's just people have got a little bit more pep in their step. Always very, 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 very exciting. And of course, the criticism, rightfully, with many people pointing that out, is that Memorial Day is so much more than that, so much more significant, where we honor people who have paid the ultimate sacrifice to defend our freedom and defend our country. This year, I think, stands out more than previous years, Jason, because the timing of Memorial Day this year with the anniversary, the 80th anniversary of Normandy, is so significant. I watched the ceremony taking place there at Normandy. President Biden was there. Many, many people were there, of course, including those who are still living, those who stormed that beach back when they were teenagers, still alive now, there, having, you know, not just survived, but lived 80 years beyond that, and are there to commemorate that. And how significant that was. And I have to say, Jason, I'm watching it, and you know, it's so great now, the technology that we have, where you have great high definition cameras attached to drones, and they're showing these overviews of the beach and over the cemetery and the memorial there. And of course, I knew that was always there, but I never saw it from that angle and how symmetrical it is and how beautiful it is. And wow, just what a sight. You know, and not only was it just very, very moving, but it moved me to really start thinking about, I need to go there. I need to see that. That is something, as travels become more and more important to me, I would really love to see that in person and just to experience that. I'm very blessed to have gotten to see a lot of the world. I think I've been to 9-10 countries. I've been to all 48 states in the mainland here. Been to Puerto Rico a bunch of times, and gotten to experience you know, pretty amazing, awe-inspiring places around the world. And this is definitely now on that list, is to go to Normandy, you know, not during a commemoration or anything necessarily, but just to be there and just to pay my honor and my respect to what happened there and what it still represents and what it still means to people, especially those families of those who are actually there storming that beach. So Jason, I'm adding this to, and I've got it right here, actually. I've got my bucket list of places to visit, adding Normandy on there. So other things that I'm doing include, you know, been to the Bahamas a couple of times. I'm going to Turks and Caicos later this summer, which should be pretty exciting. Went to London earlier this year. And other places I definitely want to include. Want to go back to Rome. Haven't been there in a long, long time. Pacific Coast Highway road trip. That's another one for the bucket list. And Utah. Fell in love with Utah about a year ago. Southern Utah. My gosh, Moab, all of that. Absolutely incredible. But now, and then one other thing too. You know I'm a big fan of the eclipse, Jason. The eclipse is going to be in Egypt. Always wanted to see Egypt. And wow. So that could be an amazing experience as well. But now adding this on, Normandy. And just one more note on that, Jason, before we bring on our guest, David Sevier. We have, you know, it's just really striking to me to look, to have seen some of those who are still living, who stormed that beach as teenagers, who went not only survived, but went on to live lives. They returned back to the world after experiencing that and got married and started families and had careers. And here they are, I'm looking at them, and some of them actually smiling. And, you know, all of them holding up their heads and knowing that they experienced something there. I'm sure many of them still haunted by what they experienced. But, well, what a moment that must be for them. I cannot even imagine what that must feel like, and that fear, comparing the scariest moment in your life to what that must have been like in one of those transports waiting to storm that beach. It really is incomprehensible. So no matter how many times you tip your hat or put your hand over your heart or have a moment of silence, it's just never enough to really to get a sense of what that must have been like. So. That being said, Jason, speaking of veterans and speaking also of travel, we have with us back on the show a veteran, a longtime mover and shaker, somebody who's still serving, but serving at the community level and at the state level, helping make life better for all people, including veterans and military families, Mr. David Sevier. David, welcome back to the show, sir.
Thank you very much, Mike. It is a great pleasure to be here, and yes, this is D-Day today, and whether the radio show airs today or sometime in the future, it is a significant day, and I want to challenge you to also think about on your bucket list. An event that we just took our youngest kids, and our youngest kids are adults, so that tells you a little bit about our age, but we just took them on the Camino de Santiago from Portugal, to Santiago, Spain, and that was an event in itself.
Wonderful. I'm going to get lots of travel tips from you and Catherine in the future, because you guys are just traveling. It seems like you're doing a lot of that these days, and I commend you for it, because I see myself going down that same path. David, before speaking of the Spain, so overall, how was it? Was it a wonderful trip? I know you had high expectations for it. The trip to Spain was great, and you had family there.
It was amazing. Yes. Now, we did live in southern Spain in Malaga for a year, but all of this travel was in the north. So we started off, we left on May 14th and visited San Sebastian, and then got over to Biarritz, France, just not that far south of Normandy, actually. And that's an amazing area. The northern part of France along the coast is just absolutely gorgeous. The I will show you some pictures. And then we went over to Porto, Portugal, and picked up six young people in their 20s and 30s. Four of them my kids and two spouses, and we walked up 100 kilometers to Santiago and did the Camino there.
Wonderful, wonderful. Thank you for sharing that, David. Now, David, if you wouldn't mind, for those who haven't heard previous episodes when you've been our guest, we could start with a little bit more basics about your background, your service in the military, and your work on health policy.
Sure, absolutely. I will just give you a real short thumbnail. I served 22 years on active duty in the Navy. About half of it was on ships, and then I got put into an opportunity to engage in health policy, and ended up spending the rest of my career in health policy, and was at the Pentagon for a number of years, and then at the Naval Postgraduate School out in Monterey, California. I call that my hardship tour. But we did have the opportunity to put together the TRICARE healthcare system that is still going today, 30 years later, and providing healthcare for over 12 million people.
Wow, incredible. And I knew that about you, but it's always incredible to hear that you were a part of that. So let me get this right. I don't want to date you here, but if you got, just doing the math here, that was, you're talking 30 years since that started, and you were doing 22 years in the service. So how much time have you spent serving in terms of both on active duty 22 years plus, serving in various roles, serving those who've served the country as, support for veterans or military families?
Well, let's just say I have probably served from the beginning of my Navy career in ROTC until today longer than you are alive, Mike.
Oh, okay. And I tip my hat to you for that, sir. Okay, when we come back after this quick commercial break, folks, we're going to continue our conversation with David Sevier, in particular, the issue of how David is working to help connect veterans with funding for home modification programs. This is AARP Without Limits. We'll be right back. And we are back. This is AARP Without Limits. Just a reminder, folks, we always love to hear from you. If you have a question, a comment, a suggestion for a future topic or guest, please reach out to us. You can send us an email to aarpwithoutlimits@aarp.org. We've been speaking today with David Sevier. David is an AARP volunteer who works with AARP North Carolina and our national office on the Veterans and Military Families Initiative. We've been talking a bit about his background professionally. And then what I wanted to ask, continue the conversation with David, is to ask you, how did you make that transition from serving in the military, having a military career 22 years, and transitioning into volunteer service?
Yeah, well, it's been a process, obviously. Catherine and I were interested in what AARP is engaged in 10, 12 years ago, and thought, well, there's an opportunity to do something of significance. I did not imagine that veterans' issues would be of particular interest to AARP until about 5.5 years ago, and I met a gentleman by the name of Steve Carter, who you know, Mike, and Steve encouraged us to put together a veterans initiative nationally at AARP, and so he and I and Catherine have been engaged in this for about 5 years, and my engagement has been not only the time that I spent on active duty, but I also led a commission in 2006 through 2008 on veterans issues, veterans healthcare in particular. So it was an area that I've been interested in and have had an opportunity to engage in for a long time. And so we began we put together a couple of documents, and then the health benefits guide, and then this most recent one, the home modification funding guide, as we mentioned.
Yeah, let's talk a bit about that. So AARP has now launched this new Veterans Home Modification Benefits Guide. Up to this point, AARP has had the HomeFit program and other resources that help older adults stay in their homes. Please explain the need for this one, this veterans-focused guide.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, about a year ago, or actually over a year ago, we were encouraged to think about, well, what would it take to put together a veterans-centric HomeFit guide? And we began thinking about that, and we thought, well, you know, veterans are much like any other older person as they age. So we thought there probably shouldn't be that much of a difference between a veteran-centric HomeFit guide and anything else. But then we began to look at the Department of Veterans Affairs. Now, the Department of Veterans Affairs is a separate department from the DOD, from the Department of Defense. They have a separate budget and so forth. And I reached out to them, and I found an individual, Jay Latonia, who was the chief of the home modification program at VA. And as we began talking to Jay, we found out that there are actually four or five different programs that they manage that provide funding, grants, for veterans who have been substantially impacted and have disabilities as a result of their service in the military, that requires their home to be not modified. And so we began to put together this home modification benefits guide as a separate entity.
And can you talk a little bit about these handful of grants that are available, if you could just walk through, because I'm sure for people they're hearing, you know, they hear, you know, what are they? What's, you know, what are the basic qualifications? Can you give us just the basics on these?
Yeah. And this has been astounding to us because I knew nothing about them, even though I had run this commission years ago and so forth. It's through the Veterans Benefits Administration, which is part of the overall Department of Veterans Affairs, but they identify and actually have offered these since the end of World War II. They had a special adaptation housing grant, and it has kept up with inflation. It was initially, I think, about $10,000. It is now $117,000 per individual if a person is 100% disabled. So they've got to have a number of criteria that the Congress has established and the Department of Veterans Affairs has met the requirements for. And so they offer these grants, as I said, for individuals. And so there are a number of different kinds of grants. There's four in particular that total $150 million a year.
Wow.
And we're just blown away by that number. And then Jay Latonia, the chief of the program, said, I am so glad that AARP is interested in this because we want to double or even triple that number because we have enough funding that is sufficient to provide that level of resource if we can find the people that are eligible. Now, eligibility requires having had a certain amount of disability inflicted upon that individual while they were on active duty. But then there's also other programs that we found out about that are assistive technologies that enable people to get assistance if they're a veteran, even beyond that.
It's astounding. $150 million in these grant funding, these grants for individuals per year, and they want to double that, which is obviously there's the need as more and more people need them. Of course, as the country is aging, we want to be having housing that's going to allow people to be able to age in place more. A quick word, David. What are the qualifications? What are the steps that people who think they're qualified should do before applying for a grant?
Well, you have to first of all be recognized by the Department of Veterans Affairs. So if somebody has a disability, you've got to be registered with the Department of Veterans Affairs, and then they give individuals an assessment, and they say you've got a 100% disability, you've got a 50% disability. It's all percentages, and so those individuals then can qualify for any number of these kinds of grants. The biggest number, the $117,000 one, goes to modifying their homes or even a purchase of a new home that would enable them to get those kinds of modifications, like bathrooms, kitchens, ramps, so they can get in on a wheelchair, those kinds of things. But there's also reduced amounts of grants as well for lesser disabilities. So they have a whole lot of criteria, and I don't think it's appropriate to get into all of those things, but the information is in the Home Modification Benefits Guide, and it's very clear.
Great. David, where can folks see the benefits guide online?
AARP.org / veterans health, or veterans, I think just veterans is all they need to do.
That's what I typically do, and it takes me to wherever I need related to our veterans and military affairs or military families initiative. David Sevier, thank you so much for being with us and for sharing a little bit about your story, as always, and of course your continued work on this to help make life truly better for those who have served our country and for their families. So I tip my hat to you, my friend. Looking forward to seeing you again.
Yep, absolutely, Mike. And, you know, it's a great thing. So we're happy to have been able to uncover this hidden gem.
Absolutely. Well, that is a wrap, folks. I want to thank David Sevier for being our guest. Thank you to Jason Kong for production. Thank you for listening. This is AARP Without Limits. This is Mike Olander with AARP North Carolina. We'll see you next time.